Good morning, and thank you for tuning into Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. We would like to welcome you to worship with us this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, 10:20 for worship, 4 p.m. in the afternoons for worship, and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. We're located just north of the shopping center up on North Belt Highway at the top of the hill there. Just turn left on County Line Road and come on down to Miller, and we'd be happy to have you visit with us. I've been dealing with the subject of the one true church as I speak from time to time, and I would like to recap some of what I have gone over very quickly for you before I continue in the lesson. We have to understand, when we're looking at this one true church that we read about in the New Testament, that Matthew 16:18 tells us that Jesus only built one church. We live in an era when there are many, many churches that have different names and different doctrines that all claim to be following Jesus Christ. In fact, in many of their manuals and catechisms and creed books, they actually say they are a part of the Church of Christ that we read about in the New Testament. The only problem we have is that we don't find authority in the New Testament for all of the man-made groups that we see around us. What we encourage people to do is to go to their New Testaments and to seek out that church that Christ established, built, back in the first century. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 3 through 6, the scriptures are very clear that just as there's only one God, there's only one faith, there's only one baptism, there's only one Lord, there's only one Spirit, it says there's also only one body. This is that body that Jesus built, established, which is His church, and He is the head of that church, Colossians 1:18 and Ephesians 1:22 and 23. So we need to understand that if we're going to follow the identifying characteristics of the Lord's church in the New Testament, we have to go back to the New Testament, and then we have to look at ourselves and see if we are a part of that church in the New Testament. Remember 2 Corinthians 13:5. We're told there to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, prove yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? So we have to understand also the principle that God has given us, that we are not allowed to add to or take away from His Word. Passages such as Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32, Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, Revelation chapter 22, 18 and 19, and other passages tell us this important principle, that we cannot add to or take away from God's Word. If we do, then we are not acceptable in His sight. This is why we find warnings in the New Testament, such as Galatians 1, 6 through 9, that we cannot do anything that would change God's Word, the gospel that He's given to us. In fact, there were some perverting the gospel of Christ in the first century, and Paul's very affirmative there when he says that even if any of the apostles come back and preach a different gospel, well, he is to be anathema or cursed. He went even further. He says even if an angel from heaven comes to you and teaches another gospel, he's to be accursed or anathema. So we understand that, as it says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, that we must not go beyond the things that are written. 2 John 9, if we go onward and do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, then we no longer have God. These are just some of the passages in God's holy word that instills us to understand this principle and to realize that we cannot add to or take away from God's word. We are responsible, you and I, as individuals, to study God's Word, not to believe what people tell us, but to go and examine the Scriptures as the Bereans did in Acts 17:11, when Paul came teaching them that this person that had died on the cross earlier in Jerusalem was actually the Messiah. And they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And that's what we're interested in getting people to do, to study concerning this one true church that we are looking at in this study. The last time that I discussed this with you, we got to the next thought of the doctrine of this church. The New Testament is that doctrine. They did not follow any kind of creed books written by men. Back in the first century, they followed the inspired Word of God. First of all, when we think about the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the New Testament, we have to understand that Jesus Christ is the lawgiver. In Ephesians chapter 4, let us read verses 7 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16. There it says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Also in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, says, "Therefore the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Now notice here that Jesus Christ is the Savior of this body that he established, that he said he would build, this church, this assembly, this group that we read about in the New Testament pages. He's the Savior of that body. And not only that, but he is the one that is the lawgiver, and he is the authority over this body. Then we also find that the Holy Spirit is the revealer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, we read there, "And we impart this," that is this inspired teachings, "we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths in spiritual language," or comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Also, we go to Ephesians chapter 3, looking at verses 1 through 6. As the inspired Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says there, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." So in other words, Paul is telling us here that as the Holy Spirit revealed these things to him and the apostles and prophets, that you and I can understand this as they did, as Paul did. People today say, well, you know, the reason we have all of these religious groups that have different names and different doctrines is because no one can understand and see the Bible alike. They can't understand it alike. Well, that's just not true, dear listener, because the Holy Scriptures tell us, through this inspired man of God, he says that we can perceive his insight into the mystery of Christ. And so I hope and pray that you will believe what the inspired writers say instead of what the world at large tells us today, because they're not inspired by the Holy Spirit, but the Apostle Paul was back in the first century. Another thing that we want to look at is the Apostles' teaching is its manual, or the term that people use today, creed book. The Apostles' teaching was the manual or creed book back in the first century. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 with me. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it's talking about the early church after some 3,000 people responded to the gospel that Peter and the apostles taught, and they obeyed that gospel by believing it, repenting, confessing Christ, being buried with him in baptism. And in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Again, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." So, dear listener, what we are to use as our manual or our creed book is nothing other than the New Testament. The New Testament, what the Holy Spirit gave the apostles and prophets that wrote those things down under the direction of the Holy Spirit, we call the New Testament. These books that reveal the message that Jesus Christ brought to mankind from heaven, from the Father. And so this is to be our creed book. And if we follow the doctrines and the commandments of men, if we are involved in believing what groups of religious organizations write down and tell us, and we accept those teachings because our parents taught them to us, and they must be right because that's what our parents believed, and we accept them because of that or some other reason, instead of going to the Bible and examining what we've been taught with the Bible, with the New Testament, then we have major problems. That's one of the reasons there's so many different groups today. If people would go back and try to pattern themselves after what's found in the New Testament, we would not have the situation we have today. And everyone I've ever studied with or talked to readily admit that what's going on today was not going on in the first century. That's why you can't read about all of the groups that we have around us today and all of the different religious bodies, so many different bodies that have so many different conflicting doctrines, yet they all claim they're all following Christ and doing the will of Christ. And I encourage you, and we at County Line Road encourage you, to take your Bibles up and start studying and seeing what the Holy Spirit says on any given subject in relation to Christ, to God, to his church, and to all of the religious things that are being taught and practiced around us today. So the question I have on this thought for you is the doctrine of your church the apostles' word only? Remember, in Acts 2 and verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, not to creeds and manuals that men have thought up, but to what the apostles were teaching as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. These men that Jesus chose were the ones the Holy Spirit came to. According to the New Testament, the Holy Spirit has not come to anyone since these men that Jesus chose in the first century. Well, I'd like to take a moment here to remind you that you are listening to Bible Talk on KFEQ 680 AM in St. Joseph, Missouri. This program is presented by the County Line Church of Christ, meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads, located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. Again, we do invite you to worship with us at any time. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Bible study, and then 10:20 in the morning for worship, then 4 p.m. in the afternoon for worship, and also Wednesday evenings for Bible study at 7 p.m. Now, dear listener, if you would like to receive a Bible correspondence course through the mail, just leave your name and address at our phone number, which is area code 816-279-4737. Or if you would like to have a home Bible study on any Bible subject, just leave your name and phone number, and we'll return your call as soon as possible. Getting back to our study, the next thing that we'd like to look at this morning is the organization of the church in the New Testament. It's very clear when you study all those identifying characteristics of that New Testament church that Jesus established, that you can find only one type of organizational structure. And dear listener, that is congregational, organically independent of every other local church or congregation. In other words, another word that you could use is they were all autonomous. There was no headquarters upon this earth for the Lord's church that he established. There were only local, independent, separate entities of assemblies of God's people. People say today, oh, that's just too simple. We've got to have a headquarters. We have to have larger structure than that in order to do what God wants us to do. Well, that's strange, isn't it, that Jesus Christ didn't set up a headquarters on the earth, that he didn't set up a centralized location for one organizational structure to control all the others? He didn't do that, dear listener. If you take your Bible and study the subject, you will find that he only authorized local congregational organization. Nothing more. Each local congregation was self-governing under Christ, who is our heavenly bishop. Let's look at some scriptures that give us some precepts concerning that. First of all, in Acts 14 and verse 23. That is Acts 14 and verse 23. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Jesus is the chief shepherd. There is not a heavenly appearance of the chief shepherd now upon this earth. He was here back in the first century. But he did not set up another chief shepherd to headquarter the church somewhere on this earth. There is no one that has ever been set up above anyone else to do the work of Christ here upon this church. Jesus is our chief shepherd. He has only authorized appointment of these men that are called elders, and we'll study that a little later, overseers or bishop or pastors, that are to have oversight in each local congregation. But they never had authority to have oversight beyond that one local congregation in which they were appointed. God's plan is very simple, dear listener. It's not complicated. Man is the one that comes along and complicates the situation and builds it into a huge human organizational structure that God never authorized or intended for man to do. We find also in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, it says, therefore, you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That's Jesus Christ, dear listener. That's not a human being upon this earth. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. These two works that we find, and we'll look at deacons also, but these two works are found in local congregations only. They are organizations, local congregations, within which men were chosen and selected, called bishops or elders, also called pastors or presbyters, and their responsibility is to feed, to tend, to oversee and to rule the flock among them. Again, Acts 20 and verse 17. And then verse 28. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. Verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. This body, this church that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood in the physical realm upon this earth only had local assemblies, and in each local assembly there were those who could serve as elders or bishops, pastors or deacons, presbyters, or not deacons, that's another word, presbyters, pastors, elders, bishops. And these men only had authority in the local congregation. So we've got to keep that in mind. Another passage that we look at is 1 Peter 5, verses 2 through 4. There he says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Now notice, not flocks of God. So there's nothing in the Bible about having bishops over more than one congregation, or archbishops, or any organizational activity larger than local congregations. They have the authority to only shepherd the flock of God that is among them, exercising oversight, but it's certain kind of oversight. And if you read 1 Peter 5 verses 2 through 4 carefully, it says not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Again, let's look at another passage, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. There it says, the saying is trustworthy, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. So we see, dear listener, that there are qualifications that the elder, the bishop, also called the pastor, presbyter, must qualify to serve in this capacity in the local congregation. In Hebrews 13 and verse 17, it says there, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So as you see passages like this, you see that God's very specific. And we need to understand that when he's specific, we need to follow those rules. Now there's another office called the deacons that are to serve. They also have qualifications. In 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13, deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, and let them serve as deacons. If they prove themselves blameless, their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. We also find concerning the church that it is with members who minister in word and deed. So 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 27 says, but God has also composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffer, the other suffers together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members thereof. So if we look at this pattern of the church in the respect of this organization, that it is congregational, that each local group is independent of any other group, they are self-governing under Christ Jesus, the heavenly bishop, and that he's allowed men to serve as bishops, also called elders, pastors, presbyters. They are to feed, to tend, to oversee, and rule the flock among them. They can't have anything to do with another congregation in any way, because God has not allowed that. This organization is congregational, with also deacons and members who minister in word and deed. Now, dear listener, are we going to allow the scriptures to control us? Are we going to allow our Creator to control us, or are we going to follow the doctrines and the commandments of men? That's the question that we need to put forth. Remember, Jesus taught us, Matthew 21, that there's only two sources of authority in religion. It is either from heaven or from men. If it's from heaven, you'll find it in the inspired Word of God, the New Testament, for us today. That's what Jesus said. The example he gave was he asked the leaders of the Jews when they came to him, trying him, and asking him questions. He said, "You answer my question. The baptism of John, where did it come from? Where did it originate?" Well, the scriptures tell us in John 1, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. And of course, John was teaching what God told him to teach. He prepared the way of the Lord. And so, they were following the doctrines and commandments of men. And you and I, we also will be following the doctrines and commandments of men if we add to or take away from God's Word. If we are practicing, believing, following in the religious realm, laws, commandments, practices that you do not find authorized in the New Testament, then, dear listener, we are not pleasing the Creator. Now, we might be pleasing ourselves and our relatives and the world at large, people we work with or the social groups that we are part of, but we want to encourage all of us to forget pleasing men and try to start trying to please God on His terms. So the question I have in closing then, does your church have any organization greater than or other than the localized arrangement that you find in your New Testament? If it does, then I encourage you to search the scriptures daily, to seek to find the truth, to follow the one true church that you find authorized in the New Testament, so that you will not be found to be adding to the will of God and to be following the doctrines and commandments of men, but turning away from those things that you cannot find authorized in the New Testament, then you will be found to be a Christian only, a true worshiper, as Jesus taught that we must all become if we want to actually go to heaven. And he said that in John chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24. We thank you again for tuning into Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. We're located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. And again, we would like to invite you to come and worship with us at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study on the Lord's Day, 10:20 for worship, Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. for worship, and then Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. We appreciate you listening this morning. We encourage you to tune in next week, the Lord willing. We'll be here at 8 a.m. next Lord's Day morning. God bless you and your search for His truth above all else. You have a nice day.